Spirit, come and have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I have only two reminders today. Beautiful. Father, thank you for the word that you have placed in Maria's heart to share with us this week. Thank you for the things that you've been sharing with her and rising up in her. Lord, would you anoint the words that she has to share with us, that we would have open hearts and ears and minds to hear what you have to say. And that Maria would share your words in the beautiful way that she does. Father, would you bless her, fill her with your peace. And Holy Spirit, come and bring her joy as she shares. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Melanie. That's great. Just a little update too with Toe. He's not here this afternoon because he's in transit. He left 6:30 this morning with Joshua Woodley and with Angus, and they headed to the Bordertown Vineyard Church there to run their service and to bless them, which is really beautiful. And they're on their way back because they don't want to miss out on the pizza. So we'll see them shortly. So it's great that we can celebrate today regarding the Williams family. It's been a long wait, over 2 years to get their PR, a bit unseasonably long apparently, which is a bit of a trial and can be quite difficult. Who here feels like they've gone through trials or currently going through trials or even a bit of both? Who would say that? Yeah, kind of happens in life, doesn't it? As I was praying for this message today, please bear with me as I think I turn it on. No, that way. We love our technology. No lights are going on really on this thing. It could be flat even, but that's okay. Don't need it. I have beautiful people at the back. Often when we look at life, sometimes it's like, we'll go back, thanks, yeah, thanks. Sometimes when we look at life, we can look at it and think, I feel like my life is all upside down. And sometimes when we look at things, we need to think and realise that God could be seeing it differently. Sometimes when we see crisis, God is actually seeing opportunity. And so when you're looking at your life right now, what are you seeing in your life? I'm going to be looking at a passage in a minute from Romans chapter 5. Maybe you might like, if you've got your Bibles with you, you can have a look at that. Chapter 5 verses 1 to 5. It was written by Paul to the church in Rome about 57 AD. And this is after he's already had 20 years of ministry, reaching churches, planting churches, building up churches. And he feels compelled to write this letter to Rome, to the church that's already formed there. And he wants to get there but hasn't as yet. And it's interesting because the book of Romans is known to be a very systematic outlay of what it means to believe in God and also how to live life in God. And it's one of those really cherished letters from Paul. And it's interesting, it's some people surmise too, that this is 20 years into his ministry and it's not that far into the future when he gets executed. And so it's almost a one, you know, it could be, I don't know. Maybe he had an inkling from the Holy Spirit that he might not have as much time to hang around. And so in this letter, he really wanted to give like one of his last, you know, almost like a will and testament, his last sort of letter of distinction. You know, this is what it means to follow Christ. And this is why. So it's a very meaty, wonderful book. And he did write some other letters after that when he was imprisoned. because he was in prison shortly after. So let's have a look at the next slide, which is the passage we're looking at today. So if you don't have your Bibles, you can read along with me or look at it while I read it out. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So, next slide, please. Paul really wants us to know our position in Christ. Something he talked a lot about was our justification. So he starts off, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. And that basically means that because therefore, is really before, he's telling us all that Christ has done for us through his life, his death on the cross and resurrection to new life, that we, through bearing all of our sins on the cross, now being forgiven, have been made right with God. And that means that when the Father, God the Father, looks at us, he doesn't see us anymore. When he sees us, he sees his Son. We have been justified. And Paul wants us to know that we have been made right with God. We're not distant anymore. We're not in the kingdom of darkness where we can't see, but we've been brought close and near to the Father. So he wants us to realise that. And there's more. Next slide. Yeah, I don't know if you remember the advertisements. Wait, and there's more. But we don't get a set of steak knives today. Because it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. And he goes on to say in the next verse, that in the next part of that, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So not only are we made right with God, but we get these added extras. We have a peace. And that peace is referring to our state of relationship, that we are now in harmony with God. We're not opposed. We're not considered to be his enemies. We have peace with God. It's not talking about the peace we can feel because of a situation. It's all to do with our relationship status with God. And Paul mentions this to emphasise again the importance of our relationship with God, because he knows how important it is for God, to God, that we are now in this beautiful relationship with God. We're restored. And Paul wants to again make that so clear. We have access, and that word there is similar to Jesus has introduced us to the Father, and Jesus has said, this one belongs to me, and so therefore we belong to the Father. How beautiful. We belong to the Father. We stand constantly in a position of grace that we live from. And so now, as we are justified, as we are received by the Father, we're in this constant position where we experience this ongoing flow from God to us in his grace. We live in this beautiful spiritual reality now of this constant spiritual blessing in Christ. And that leads to our joy and our hope. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So as a Christian people, as a people loving God, we're a forward-looking people. We don't keep looking back. We keep looking forward. And we have a great hope that this grace, which we now stand in, and lets us allow us to be in God's great presence is a foretaste of our eternal existence, our forever home with God, to be eternally in God's presence. Wow, how beautiful is that? I'm excited. And that thought and that experience is echoed by the psalmist in Psalm 16, verse 11, who says, God, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So not only do we get to experience the beautiful love and presence of God now, but we know it's our destiny and for all time. So, next slide. We are in a great position. And wait, there's more. Again, not only so, he goes on to say. Not only so, in chapter 5, verse 3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Not sure about that one, Paul. Not sure about that one at all. It's funny, he does talk about that a lot. So, you know, this peace we have with God doesn't always bring peace in our relationships with people, or doesn't always allow us to experience peace in our circumstances. Life in the world can be pretty unpleasant. I think we can all say, yeah, we've had some difficult moments. So we all are going to go through sufferings. It's not when, or it's not if, it's when, isn't it? That's right, isn't it? It's not just if we're going to, it's when, that's the one. So the next slide, let's just continue on reading. So not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Interesting. So, suffering produces something. So for the Christian, suffering actually has value for us. It actually brings things into our life. It starts with perseverance and it ends up in hope. Now, the hope sounds pretty good. Let's see how we get there. Can I have the next slide? So it reminds me of popcorn. I've been eating a lot of popcorn lately. I've discovered it's a really fantastic, fresh little snack you can have at home that's low in calories. And I'm all for that. So it's quite amazing. You start with these hard little kernels and poof, they come into popcorn. And I thought, wow, I could just see that, you know, those little kernels there are just waiting to explode with hope. But to get there, that kernel needs to go under a lot of heat to get that change to happen. From this passage, I think what we can see is that there is a hope that we get to experience, but that we will never experience until we go through trials, the trials of life with God. And we do experience lots of challenges. We get put into the heat of trials. And if we just look at the word perseverance, okay, we want to get to this hope bit. So what does perseverance mean? Well, it means to be patient, be continually patient, to patiently wait. I'm not always great at doing that. I don't know what you're like. To endure. So sometimes it's going to feel not great, but perseverance is our endurance of that. To not swerve from the purpose, deliberate purpose that you know that you're going for. And it's your loyalty to your faith, even in the midst of great trials. Pretty strong word, that perseverance. And it leads to hope. So hope can be something for the present, an expectation of something good, great. You want to see something work out for your current situation. But it's also a joyful and confident expectation of our future with God, that we start now, and as we are glorified with God, we have a beautiful continuance in eternity that starts right now. So, with that hope too, we can know that when we get through that trial, we can think, wow, I have a hope now that when I go through my next trial, that, wow, God got me through the last one. Wow, that gives me hope for now. He can do it again. My God is great. His promises continually to me are yes and amen, that he's always with me and he wants the best for me. Great. And that verse also says that this hope does not disappoint, because it, as it goes on to say, it's coupled with God's love, which is perfect and enduring. It's not like human love. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So we have beautiful Holy Spirit living in us by faith as we say yes to Jesus, who keeps filling our hearts with this magnificent divine love. What a beautiful position that our Lord God has placed us in through Jesus, hey? Wonderful. But let's look at the next slide. Perseverance leads to hope, but not always. So sometimes in my pot, when I go to fish out the popcorn, sometimes I just have these burnt up kernels that aren't really doing much at all. In fact, I can't really eat them, and all I can do is throw them away. They're of no use. And I'm still trying to get the formula right, you know, if there's not enough oil, is there not enough heat? Did the kernel not decide to submit to the heat and surrender and give itself so it could bake? I don't know. And sometimes I think with us, you know, perseverance in the trial leads to hope. Well, I can see sometimes that it's not always obvious in people's lives that that's happened. Sometimes the trials can overwhelm us. Sometimes we can just get stuck in the midst of that trial and it feels like it's a never-ending thing. So what's in between? So the next slide, we see that perseverance leads to character, leads to hope. So what's the character? Well, it's really finding out what we're made of. When we're put under trial, when we're put under fire, like metals, when they're put under fire, they get rid of the impurities and you're left with what the true thing is. So there's a testing to see what we're made of. Now, God already knows what I'm made of. He already knows what you're made of. And I think as we go through the trials, that we actually get to get a bit of a glimpse ourselves about what's really in us. Because it's only when we're really squeezed that we find out, oh, what pops out? Oh, that thought wasn't so great, God. Sorry about that. Maybe I wasn't really trusting. The next slide. So what comes out of us when we're under pressure or when you're under pressure? Do you explode with hope, like the popcorn, instantaneously? One day, I might get there. Are we made of trust and faith in God? Or is there something else that's lurking in us that God is wanting to purify? Is there a fear? Is there a doubt that God is maybe wanting to put his finger on and saying, hey, I really want you to trust me here in this part of your life? Is your heart hardened? Is it like that kernel of popcorn that's in the middle that's not quite wanting to submit? Or are you humble to what God wants to do in your heart? Because we need to have a humble heart to really trust God, to believe that, hey, God knows more about me and my situation. He knows the beginning to the end and everything in between. I only know what I kind of know now, and I'm I've got limited understanding. God knows all, and we can trust him. And we need to, that requires a real humility of heart. And Job, who went through great suffering, as we read the book of Job, he went through great trials. And he said, and he understood the value of them, because he said, when God has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So he knew that God was doing a testing work in his heart. There's something very precious that we can only gain through trials. And we have so many beautiful, wonderful examples in the Bible of people going through trials. There's that, I was reminded of that wonderful story in the ear of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he had three Jews that worked with him, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Can never say that too fast. And we can see in their story that they had a trust in God before the trial really hit, and in the midst of it, their trust was high. And they would not worship the images that Nebuchadnezzar had put up, and asked all the subjects of the kingdom to worship. But they said no. And so they were brought to the king, and they said to the king, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. Wow, now that's trust. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, this is even more amazing. We want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So they were saying, we're going to trust God no matter the outcome. We know what outcome would like, but even then we're going to trust God. A great example for us. So the story goes, they got thrown, actually, well, the king was so infuriated, he ordered that the furnace was heated 7 times hotter than usual, and so the soldiers that put these three men in actually died trying to put them in because the heat was so horrendous. So as the three were in there, King Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace and could see not three but 4 men walking around unbound and unharmed. And so he called them out, come on out, come on out. And he could see that the fire had not scorched or harmed their bodies, not a hair on their head was singed, their robes were not burnt, and there was no smell of fire on them. So they went through a great trial, but God had so protected them that nothing of that trial penetrated them. That's how God is wanting us to go through our trials as we put our trust in him. That it could be going wild around us, but his protection and love is such that it doesn't even need to touch us. And King Nebuchadnezzar looked at this and said, wow, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who has sent his angel, that 4th person, and rescued his servants. They trusted in him. They trusted in their God. Others could see the trust of these three men, that they defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. That reminds me of the persevering definition, which was that when we are persevering, we endure and we are loyal in our faith, even through the greatest trials. These guys persevered with great trust in God. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, again talks about the joy of suffering in chapter 8. He says, I consider again that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And he goes on a bit further and he says, and we know that in all things, not just now and again, but in all things, in everything that you're going through, in all your trials, all your difficulties, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So God is doing something in us when we're going through whatever it is we're going through. For those that love him, who trust in him, he's able to do something pretty wild and amazing in our lives. And in the in Hebrews, the author there talks about trials and hardship in a different way. He poses it a bit differently. And he says that because of God's love, he sees us as his children, and he wants to use again our sufferings, our difficulties, to our advantage. And he says this in Hebrews 12, endure hardship or trials as discipline, which is a time to get tested and to be refined, because God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? And again, and then further along in verse 11 there of chapter 12, Paul writes, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. So if you're feeling like you're going through a trial and you're not enjoying it, well, that's right. It's not enjoyable in that sense. And it can be painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So the question is, are you facing a trial today, right now? If you are, let's see it as an opportunity for God to do something in you and in me that won't get done in any other way except for what you're going through right now. And I want to finish with this last slide. I might get the worship team to come back up, please. The next slide of Romans 15, again in Romans, Paul writes this in verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is waiting to explode out of our hearts. And God is wanting to do a great work in us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your reminder today that your plans are so wondrously wonderful for us. And Lord, we don't always see what you see in our lives. But today, Lord, we surrender to your good purposes for us. And Lord, we want to see what you're doing. And Lord, if we're going through a hard time right now, Lord, would you show us what part of us or of our character that you're wanting to refine right now, so that we might partner with what you're doing in us, Holy Spirit. And Lord, if there's a part of us that you're wanting us to leave with you in the fire, that we might be more free to live the life that you have called us into, Lord, show us what that is. Lord, and Holy Spirit, would you give us the courage to release that to you today, Lord? Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your wonderful presence that's at work in us. Lord, would you come and, reveal the Father's heart as we continue to worship, to show us that you are with us, you never leave us, that you are safe. We can trust in you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Would you come and have your way with us now, in Jesus' name, as we surrender to you. Amen. So let's stand and sing in an attitude of openness to God. And after that, we're going to go into a time of communion.